Bianca, we got to do this fast. Jordan only has 15 minutes to talk from Rikers Island.
What's going on, Jordan?
Oh, Harry thinks I'm in prison with this white background. No color. Solitary confinement.
Definitely a dude. You know, well,
I have about 2 weeks left here, and then we're back in the new pad, and I'll be broadcasting from a brand new desk. So,
oh my gosh, I cannot wait.
Yeah.
As y'all can see, I'm coming at you again from the Beer Business Daily Barca Lounger. I've got Biscuit as my co-pilot. This time, this is not a bit, though, Jordan. I actually am injured and cannot climb the stairs to the real studio. So, yeah, I had the hip gout just kind of climb up on me right as I entered Vegas, and I hobbled around the entire Constellation Gold Network event. But, hey, I was there. I covered it, and let's talk about it. Welcome to BeerNet Radio, folks. This is our Wednesday Warehouse segment where we talk about the week's news. We have editors Jordan Driggers with us and Bianca Bruno. Hello, guys.
Hola, Harry.
So you weren't kidding when you said you used your suitcase as a walker.
Right. Yeah, I had to use my rolling suitcase as a walker at the airport. Thank God I had a direct flight back. This is the one time I was happy I was on Southwest, because I could just, you know, and I valeted my car, which I never do. So that was beautiful timing. And we live in Military City, USA. So when you get off a plane, about 80% of the people are either vets or active military. And so when the escalator was down, which it always is, a young gentleman came up and said, "Sir, may I carry your bag down the stairs?" And I said, "Thank God." And he did, carried my bag. And then he ended up carrying it right up to my car. So, you know what? Thank you for your service. God bless. You know, shout out to all our military folks out there.
Was it your gigantic camo bag?
No.
You know, help out a fellow soldier.
Yeah, right. I was not stealing Valor, Jordan, like I normally do. No, I didn't have my... I went tight this time. Just one carry-on. No bag, no shoulder bag, nothing. One bag. That's how I go. It's how I roll now. We're going to talk about that. Bianca was at the Vibe Conference, the on-premise conference. Where was it this year, Bianca?
It's in San Diego.
Well, then perfect. There you go. Nobody gives the on-premise any love, so we're going to give it some love today. And we're going to talk about some data. So first, let's start with the Constellation Gold Network Summit. You know, nothing much to add except what was written, which was a lot. They're going to, you know, they want to add 100 million cases. And, you know, it looks like they're already halfway there. Modelo Especial is already, if you look back 52 weeks, a 200 million case brand, which to me is just unbelievable. So the one thing I wanted to say is that struck me at this meeting, when I think back, because I've been going to GNS, you know, before it was even called that. And Jordan, you've been to several of them. But, you know, when I think back when I first started going, you know, back in the Bill Hackett days, you know, Bill Hackett was kind of the first president of Barton Beers, which eventually became Constellation. And you know, it says Bill up there. You remember those overhead projectors? Bianca, you're probably too young to even know what that is. With the acrylic.
I know what those are.
Okay. Were you write on it with a marker? That was GNS.
Maybe I don't know what those are.
Okay, yeah, you don't. This is not a computer. This is a light that shines through a magnifying. Anyway, the point is the production values have gone up a lot. But aside from that, you know, when Bill retired, and well, let's go back further. Let's go down history. Let's go down memory lane a little bit. When Carlos Alvarez just kept suing Grupo Modelo over and over and over again, they finally decided they'd had enough, and they terminated him and gave all of the country to import Corona. And believe me, it was just Corona. There weren't any other major brands to Barton, which was a division of Constellation. Then Anheuser-Busch bought Grupo Modelo, and as part of that deal, the federal government said, you got to spin off the U.S., and so Constellation ended up owning the rights to the brands that Modelo had and to a brewery, and they built another brewery, Stop That Biscuit. And so now they went from being a total importer to making all of their beer in a self-contained supplier. And of course, Constellation is a publicly traded company. And when Bill retired, there was a sense among wholesalers that they're going to lose their edge. They're becoming more and more big brewer ties, big breweritis, if you want to call it. They were taking on some of the behaviors of Anheuser-Busch and Molson Coors, you know, lots of surveys, lots of tracking everything, and then, you know, investing cents per case, you know, all this stuff, terminating distributors that they didn't like, you know, all these behaviors that weren't usually associated with Constellation. And some folks predicted that this was going to be their undoing and that they're going to lose that entrepreneurial kind of spirit that Bill Hackett and his folks over there had, and it's going to become more corporatized. And, you know, it kind of turned into a more professional organization rather than an entrepreneurial organization. You know, and I made those remarks at the time. And I got to say, we were wrong. I mean, obviously, all you have to do is look at the numbers. What I think has happened when I looked at, when I attended this conference in Vegas, is that they've kept some of the entrepreneurial parts and then they've professionalized the rest. Constellation is a very data-driven company now, but they've kept that marketing magic, you know, with Jim Savia and his team. But they have also Malika Montero, who's just over here grinding numbers and finding out what consumers are doing. And I would say that, like, you know, when you go to a lot of suppliers' conferences, they talk in barrels, right? And like, I remember when I started in the beer industry, my boss, Joe Huggins, was like, we don't sell barrels, we sell cases. Don't ever talk about barrels again, cases. And I was like, well, actually, Joe, you can't take cases to the bank. I didn't say that, but that's another common saying. But anyway, you know, Constellation only talks in cases. You don't see anything on the screen there in barrels. It's all case equivalents. And sometimes we call those equivs. Sometimes we call them CEs, whatever you want to call it. They deal in cases because that's the language that wholesalers understand. I really like that about them. So that's all I have to say about that. It turns out that professionally run organizations can be successful. And they were given a hot hand. There's no doubt. Buying that off of AB was very fortuitous for them. But, you know, everybody says, well, they lucked out because Mexican beers are hot. But, you know, not all Mexican beers are hot. So it's not just because the category is hot. I think they drove the category to be hot in some manner. And yes, they have demographic tailwinds with the Hispanic consumer growing and growing. So they have that kind of, if you want to call it luck, but they've obviously made the most out of that and squeezed the most out of it. So that's kind of the major point I wanted to make about GNS. The other thing is how friggin' big Pacifico has become in short order. And it's very lightly distributed as far as pods, you know, east of the Sierra Nevada mountains. That I was just shocked to see how many distributors are selling 100, 200, 300,000 cases of Pacifico alone. I was equally surprised to see how many distributors are selling 1 million, 2 million, 3 million, 4 million, 5 million, 7 million cases of Modelo Especial alone. 7 million cases is a large beer distributorship in itself. You can make a very good living selling just 7 million cases of Modelo. And now you start to see the reason why Reyes is growing with Constellation always as a partner. You know, they're not going to do a deal unless Constellation's a part of it, because their SKUs are just so friggin' efficient. You can't, you know, well, I guess, you know, what a lot of suppliers maybe don't get is that when you're selling traditional cases, you do not want to have an account that sells less than 7 cases of one SKU. Why? The reason is because most pallets are stacked with a 7-case tie, meaning each layer contains 7 cases of a can, usually of a canned product. It differs a little bit if you're selling 4-packs and stuff like that, but mostly it's 7 cases. And the machine can grab 7 cases at a time for an order and put it on a pallet for a load. So if it's 6 cases, you got to hand pick it. If it's 7 cases or more, the machine can pick it. So, you know, that's just one example in very simple terms of why having efficient SKUs matters. And, you know, honestly, there are very few SKUs that sell on average more than 7 cases per account per delivery. You know, if it's a change driven market, even more so, because then you're a lot of times delivering off the back of the truck on pallets. You're not pulling the beer off of a side loader, putting it on a pallet jack, rolling it into the store. You're actually just rolling it straight out of the truck into the store. So, you know, these are things that you think about. Efficiency per SKU, it's the most important thing to a wholesaler. That and gross margin. And obviously their gross margins are high. But, you know, that's why that's why Anheuser-Busch distributors historically, you know, when you see them in airports at a convention, you can spot them because they're the ones wearing the nicest watches, the nicest clothes, their wives are carrying the nicest baggage. And the reason is because they have they had efficient SKUs. It was all Bud Light and Busch, you know, two brands. But as the years have gone on, as their market share has dropped really since 2005 or something, then how do you grow? Well, you grow by proliferating your SKUs, and that makes it less efficient. The wholesaler makes less money, and bada bing, bada boom. So a little macroeconomics lesson of why Constellation is getting the focus and investment from distributors, or why they should be getting it. And GNS has been an exercise in trying to convince wholesalers of this fact. I mean, it's all about distribution. The whole meeting is this brand is under-distributed. This SKU is under-distributed for the velocity it's doing in accounts. And I think that's why Constellation's smart, and that during the breaks, they just put a rolling scroll of how much beer each distributor sold in the previous year. It's brilliant, because if you're a distributor, say, in the Midwest where the brands aren't as developed, and you're looking up there and you're seeing that Andrew's distributor grew by 1 million cases in Dallas, you're like, well, fuck, I want to do that. It's brilliant. You know, a little competition never hurt anybody. And, you know, one of the things, like Bill Rinsby said, they struggle with how much they should include the awards into the program. And, you know, trust me, I agree. Jordan, you know, I don't like, as soon as the awards come up, I'm like, want to go to the bathroom, right? I mean, less awards, the better. But, you know, they have to kind of honor those wholesalers who have kicked ass. So they reduce the amount of reward time, which I thought was good, but they still give a decent amount of time to the awards. And I want to take time to congratulate Gavin Hattersley because they won one of the Crown Awards. Molson Coors actually won an award from Constellation. I want to repeat that. Molson Coors won an award as an outstanding distributor in Denver, Colorado from Constellation. And I said that Molson Coors generates 10 to 20 million in net profit, not gross profit, net profit from Constellation's brands by distributing them in Denver. And I talked to a few people and they said, I'm underestimating that. It's probably more like $30 million that they're getting from this is just free money. It's like picking money off the ground. What a beautiful thing. And they win awards. and then you have Evan Athanas, who was the former VP of sales for Anheuser-Busch, is now chair of the Constellation's Distributor Council. God, I love this industry. Nobody leaves the industry. You just move. It's like the mafia. You can, once you're in it, you can't leave. And you know, and Evan's a great guy and a smart guy. And I spoke briefly with Jim Stabia, and he was like, you know, I'm glad you pointed out that Evan was part of the distributor council. And I was like, yeah, well, I kind of pointed it out because it's funny. You know, I like to write things that are funny. And he's like, well, no, there is a message, you know, that we want to send that, you know, obviously Evan runs a couple of AB distributors. There's been some ill will between AB distributors and Constellation because there's this thinking that they're kind of underappreciated because of all the terminations that happened in California. So Constellation throwing a little love out there. So I don't want to go on too long, but otherwise they are, you know, just increasing investments in digital and linear TV and basically in everything, not by too much, but by more than anybody else for sure at this point, except maybe AB, I don't know, as far as raw dollars, but they're really just doubling down on football. You know, and if anybody was wondering where that UFC money that went over, that AB took over that sponsorship, where that money went, it's going to the NFL and the NCAA. And I think that's probably a smart move. That's the only probably other equity that's as important to beer drinkers and maybe more, obviously more important. So there it is. Jordan, what do you have to say about that?
I think Modelo getting into football is brilliant because I think it's time for them to try and go a little more mainstream with the brand. They've kind of, you know, picked Hispanic skewed properties in the past, and getting into football, I think, is a big deal. Just because I know I'm here in Texas, but I'm starting to see that it really is becoming the beer of choice for any occasion, you know, like if you're going to a party, you're going to a wedding and you need to pick a beer for everybody, Modelo is becoming that beer. And yeah, it really does grow on people. And I think it has become, I mean, obviously it's the number one beer in America, but it's doing that still in pockets, you know, it's not, its presence isn't widespread, like, you know, Bud Light and Coors Light. So there's still a lot of run room left. I was curious, you were talking about convincing wholesalers of efficiency. And when I've gone in years past, they've kind of pleaded with wholesalers to get with the high end and kind of put your legacy brands in the past. Are they still kind of saying that story? Or
oh, for sure.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. You know, Shopper First Shelf was a big part of, as far as the sales part of the program. And yeah, they showed a slide where, you know, here is where 60% of all beer volume is in the high end. And it was in half the states. So, I mean, this is the tail wagging the dog, you know, for those laggards out there. The high end is the only growth driver in this industry. And it's more than half of the dollars. So it's here. It's not coming. It's here. It's, yeah, you know, it may be waning. It may be over. I mean, I don't think it is, but in spirits, they certainly had a rough year last year and their super premium offerings, but that might've honestly been a blip of COVID inventory. So yeah, we don't really know.
And then you talked about their change to a professionalism. They really have been just so measured with pricing. I mean, they have it seems like a perfect pricing strategy with Modelo, where it's just a little bit more than premium light and have never really, you know, gone off that path, and distribution as well. I mean, they still have so much in the tank for Modelo, and then Pacifico is hardly widespread. So
right,
to see into the future like they have, especially with such a tight portfolio of kind of all the same brands of Mexican imports, and to be able to, okay, squeeze all the juice out of Corona, move on to Modelo, and then kind of build up Pacifico in the back. I mean, it's just been brilliant.
It doesn't appear like they're going to be taking a lot of pricing.
No, it's 1 to 2%. That's
yeah.
Anytime somebody asks, that's what it is.
Yeah, if you need to know what their pricing is going to be, it's 1-2%, which is well below inflation. You know, I think inflation is hovering at about 3.5%, 4%. You know, it goes up and down every quarter, but you know, that's not good news for AB, who's counting on that extra revenue, particularly with their new contract. I mean, so that, and that's part of their core is pricing has never been a part of their revenue growth strategy, a big part. It's always been a smaller part. Volume growth has been number one with them, which is smart because they got the hot hand. There's no need to be greedy about it and ruin a good thing. Momentum begets momentum. You don't want to throw a hammer into your momentum with pricing. Hear that, Biscuit? Biscuit, wake up. This is important shit. And you're sleeping through all of it. Look at that. Biscuit is so excited. And by the way, I just want everybody to know I'm wearing a Corona hat just because I wanted to, but I do have other hats. I have every brand's hat. So I'm just wearing it because we're talking about it. But one other thing I want to say, one last thing, is that I was approached seven times at this convention of people because they recognize me from this podcast. They're like, are you Harry from the podcast? And six of them were young women. So I think, you know, we're definitely appealing to a subset of the industry that it maybe is neglected or, you know, I'll tell you one young lady was in where I was in the elevator and she kind of very timidly said, are you Harry from BeerNet Radio? And so there was another guy in the elevator who wasn't in the beer industry. He was some programmer or something. So he thought I was famous because the way she said it, like, no shit. She goes, are you here? And I was like, oh, yes, yes. She goes, oh, I just love the podcast. I go, thank you so much. She gets off the elevator and the guy's like, no, wait a minute. Who are you? I'm some rock star or something. It was so great. So shout out to that young lady. I know who you're. And the other thing is that most of them were Constellation people, like not distributors, which is funny because this is for distributors. But hey, we're glad to have you.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I thought you're a fountain of knowledge, Harry. Everyone needs to drink from it.
You did. That's right, Bianca. I'm glad.
Hey,
well, put look, even Biscuit's awake now, interested in what we're going to say. So Bianca, the Vibe Conference. Now, I went to the Vibe Conference like 10 years ago, and it was like going through some kind of transition because it was a sad little affair. And they've really pumped it back up again. I'm glad to see it. So what were your impressions of the Vibe? What was the Vibe at the Vibe Conference?
The Vibes at Vibe. They have great cocktails.
Yeah, I imagine.
That was actually my second year. So I went there my first year on the job. And it seems like they just host it in San Diego every year. So I guess I'm the San Diego representative for Vibe. What struck us this week that we had a story this morning was Ryan LaMontagne from Anheuser-Busch presented on draft on-prem. And draft is growing, at least it is in terms of dollars. And it grew by a lot. It grew by $500 million last year, which was kind of like, for us, it was like, what? Everyone's complaining about draft since
COVID. That was very
COVID.
Surprising to me.
Yeah.
$500 million. It must be pricing, honestly.
It has to be pricing. I mean, Bianca wrote up the story and then Jen and I were checking it out and we're like, did you say that draft grew revenue last year? Because I mean, it's hard for us to get reads on premise. You know, we don't get them like we do scans. And so we're kind of in the dark about trends. But you just heard everyone talking about how bad draft was last year. And then you had the Bud Light issue along with, you know, it affecting other AB brands as well as the Modelo keg issue. So for it to grow dollars at all, even with pricing, I thought was quite the feat.
And it's outgrowing package, you know, in the era of kind of everyone being
this,
RTD
focused.
Is
this focused. AB guy? Has anybody fact checked this guy? This guy's...
Yeah. We we had to reach out to him.
You did?
To make sure.
Make sure 500 million wasn't a typo.
I mean, I trust you, Bianca, 100%, but that is very surprising to me. What's not surprising is that you shouldn't have more than 12 taps, which I've been saying that for 20 years. You shouldn't have more than 6 taps. I mean, come on, guys. Come on, guys.
You don't see those bars too much anymore. You know, the 40, 50 tap handle ones. They're out there.
They're out there. They're out there with a lot of stale beer in their back room.
And a lot of empty taps.
Well, this wasn't in the... Well, I guess it was in the story yesterday. And then it was talked about a couple times, which was surprising to me, was Harry's favorite generation, Gen Z, over indexes on draft, which just seems surprising.
That is given... surprising.
So it sounds like that's a strategy for folks to focus on. And, you know, I think they're seeing that as a bit of a silver lining in terms of the future of draft. But that came up a couple times.
Totally. That's great news, actually, for draft. I guess it's not surprising. I mean, it's a cool way to drink beer, I think.
It sounds like it's the only way they want to drink beer. They're not really ordering package.
Which is also kind of what stood out to me in that write-up this morning was that package and draft are both about equal in the on-premise as of last year. 50-50, which I would have thought no way, even with draft struggles. So it is reassuring to hear that the younger generation prefers draft, because I think all that package came in because everyone thought that's where younger people were going. So it's good news for beer. It does, the draft does hook people, and you can do the rituals of Blue Moon with Orange Pill or the dressing of Mexican imports. So it's important to, I know it's a hassle for distributors, but, and at times retailers, but it's important for the category.
For sure. When I watch Jason Momoa drink a draft Guinness, it makes me want one.
That was a pretty good spot.
It was good. It's funny.
I LOL'd.
You LOL'd.
I did.
And when you get Bianca LOLing, then you know it's funny. She's not out here giving free laughs to anybody, you know. And Jordan, my God, you got to really step up your game to get a laugh out of this guy. I like that. I like the ad. They're going to cut it for TV, which I think will be good. It'll be shorter. It was a little long to get to the payoff, I thought, but I have Gen Z vibes. I have a Gen Z attention span. So I'm like, okay, what is it? What is he trying to get at?
It turns out
the guy's Irish. You wouldn't have called that just by looking at him. That's what you get. You know, you can't judge people. Jordan, there's a lesson there. I hope you're taking notes.
A lesson for you or a lesson for me?
I'm always learning, Jordan. Always learning. All right. So anything else that we're missing? I want to keep it under 30, and we're at 31. But
no, I think you had a good run on Constellation.
Very insightful. I always learn from you, Harry.
Oh, good. Well, thank you, Bianca. Well, so did I. I learned actually the biggest data point that surprised me of the year.
And only February or March.
Yeah, we're only in February. But still, we'll see how long this is the most surprising stat, Bianca, for me.
Okay.
Because we're only in March, but we'll get to... I think this will be a surprising stat for a while. Yeah. So eat that. Here's a pillow. Eat that. A little jaw rule for you.
Is that jaw rule?
I think so.
Here's a pillow. Eat that.
I'm going to look that up. You should put that as the quote at the bottom of the issue today.
Here's a pillow. Eat that. It ain't no marshmallow. All right. Well, on that note, Jen is off today, but she'll be back next week. Do not fret. And thanks, Bianca, for giving us the vibe of the vibe. Very interesting stuff. We finally got up next year's summit graphics on our website. So you can go check that out to find out the dates. And you can even register if you want. You get a discount for registering early. And other than that, let's sign off. And we'll see you next week.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.